Steve Kerr is moments away. Do want to let everybody know the NBA season starts tomorrow night and the Warriors will be home as soon as this weekend. Clippers in town on Sunday night. Go to warriors.com for tickets for all home games. And that is the home opener for this upcoming season, Sunday, October 27th at 5:30. And even in the event of a sellout, tickets are always available at warriors.com. That's where season ticket holders and other fans resell tickets that are 100% guaranteed by the Warriors organization, okay? So more on that as we hop right on into it. Let's go to the River Islands guest line. It is time for none other than Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great, and so is this season in our weekly conversation with Steve Kerr. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're fantastic, and we're excited to talk to you every week. We're excited about the start of this season. Why don't you kind of give the listeners a little bit of a sense of, like, beyond the obvious, right? Like, Clay doesn't play for the team anymore, but like, what's different in terms of your approach with this roster this year?
Well, I think Clay's departure and absence has kind of forced us to rethink things a little bit and given us an opportunity to reimagine ourselves and how we're doing things. And you know, we have a very deep roster, really deep team, and a lot of competition for playing time. So, you know, we're excited about the year. We got a good team. We've got a really good vibe. The guys are excited. It's been a good, good training camp. So we're ready to roll.
Are you starting to sharpen exactly the roles the guys are going to play, or is that something that is going to evolve throughout the early part of the season?
Yeah, I think that's going to have to evolve. You know, we've got a lot of guys who are more than capable, and so we're going to play a lot of people. We want to be really good defensively and in short bursts with playing a lot of guys. You know, we have to use our depth in order to be a good team, and that means making sure we are really really playing hard for these short bursts and be ready for the next group to come in. So that's kind of where we are.
Steve, I want to jump right into the first of 1,000 Moses Moody questions we will no doubt ask throughout the season. But the new contract for him, does that also, like, that kind of an investment in a player from a team, does that automatically come with it a lot of minutes?
Man, I wish it were that simple. I think that what we see with our roster is, you know, we basically replaced Clay with three really good veteran players, with Melton and Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson. And so what we're looking at is a roster that is really deep at a lot of different spots, and Moses is one of those guys who we're really excited about. So we're investing in players we believe in and people we believe in, and Moses had a great camp, and he's definitely part of the mix, but so are a lot of other people. So there's no guarantees of anything. We play the people night after night who we think give us the best chance to win, and we go from there.
More bodies than spots, which is a better problem than the alternative, which is more spots than bodies. And, you know, I think you've definitively said that Steph Curry will be in the starting lineup, and I assume that Draymond will as well. Can you reveal the other three members of your starting five, Steve?
I'm not going to do that till tomorrow, till game time. But I know who I'm going to start, and, I'm excited. I think, like I said, with Clay leaving, with Chris Paul leaving, it leaves a void for sure. And Clay, especially, just given how much he's meant to our organization and our identity, and so it's going to be different. But we have to embrace that. You know, as much as we're going to miss those guys, we really have to embrace the opportunity to try to be better in certain ways. I know that's how we've looked at it from a coaching standpoint. We have tried to to figure out what do we have to do to improve our team, and what do we have to do differently. I think it's important as a staff not to just repeat the same things we're doing. We've got to make sure we're always trying to get better as well, and so that's what we're focused on. A lot of new talent, a lot of depth. Let's lean into that.
Steve, if you won't say who the starting five will be, can you tell me who the seven players on the bench will be?
No, I can't do that either.
Right.
Sorry.
I just thought I'd ask. I mean, I figured it was a fair follow-up.
I figure everyone will be at on the bench at some point.
Ah, good point.
Probably.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So,
score one for Kirk.
Well, Steve, what about this, though? Because I think famously people will go, oh, it's a good problem to have, right? You have depth. You have a lot of good players. But how do you avoid what felt like kind of a headache for you at times last year by having so many people who deserve to be on the floor?
Well, you know, that's my job, is to coach these guys and talk to them day in and day out and make sure they're doing well and make sure they're aware of their circumstances, and that's what coaching is. So, yeah, the depth is a great problem to have, but it doesn't come, you know, without some difficulty in terms of, guys not being thrilled all the time, and that's part of the deal. And so we'll coach them up and we'll have them ready to go.
Coming out of a camp where things went well from a win-loss standpoint, which means virtually nothing, but how did it feel once you got Andrew back and he was healthy and ready to go? Are you looking at this season as one of high hopes for Andrew as he tries to kind of rediscover that form from a couple years ago?
Yeah. I think I'm definitely excited about Andrew, and I think he's in a good place. I think there's a great opportunity for him to bounce back and be the player that we know he can be. And unfortunately, he missed the first week of camp with the illness. And so, he's not where he's going to be in a couple of weeks. But I was impressed with him the last week or so. And I think he's primed to have a good year.
Steve Kerr with us here, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. We'll do it every week throughout the Warriors season. Coach, the last couple of years so well documented with everything that happened in camp 2 years ago and the Draymond and Jordan situation. And then last year, you've been very open with what was just a mentally challenging situation for Klay. Is it fair to say that this group, it feels lighter right now with the way you're all connected?
No, I think that is fair. And every year is a little different, and you can't always control all that stuff. So you're constantly hoping that you get a group in a good vibe and in a good place. And that's where we've been with this year's team and camp. There's a really good sense of, we've got a chance to prove people wrong and to have a really good team. And we got, a lot of guys who are excited to be here. And I know I'm excited. This is year 11 for me, which is crazy. But I'm feeling refreshed and ready to go and really excited about this season.
The whole idea of prove people wrong, and I can sense the chip on the shoulder for, Steph and Draymond, and even maybe for yourself, after people are starting to put a finality to the great run that you've had. Is that a big motivator, especially for some of the guys who were here in the last championship run?
It's not anything that we talk about, but it's kind of inherent in the fact that these guys are all competitors, and they are excited. They want to win. They've won a lot in the past. And when people don't think you can do it, that's a natural motivator for sure. So we don't discuss it, but it's there.
Coach, during the preseason, you guys have been firing up a lot more three-pointers. To what extent is that part of the plan? And is there kind of a target number that you want the guys to put up every night?
Yeah, I never mention that to the team. I don't say how many. I just know that we want to generate a lot of good ones. That's the plan. you know, we want to play fast. We want to push the ball. We want to open threes in transition. You know, and I think it's we're well suited for that. We have more shooting depth on this team than any team we've had in a long time here. We've always been obviously a great 3-point shooting team, but I think more top heavy than anything with Steph and Clay and Kevin Durant. And but with this team, I think we legitimately have, you know, seven, eight guys who are going to shoot threes, and that's a good thing.
Does playing fast preclude you from being a good defensive team, or do those things not connect?
No, you can do that. You can connect. My first year coaching, 14-15, we led the league in pace and led the league in defensive efficiency. So you can do both. It's getting harder, for sure, given the number of threes everybody is out there taking and the pace that everybody's playing at. But you can be good at both things, for sure.
Steve, the fans certainly took note of the fact that an extension deadline for Jonathan Kuminga passed, and so now he goes into this season with something to prove. What would you and the organization like to see him prove this year?
Well, I think, you know, that's just normal negotiation stuff. I mean, we want JK here for the long haul, and obviously I want him to have a great year and put himself in a position next summer where we agree to a contract and you know, one that he's thrilled with and that we're happy with as well. So that's the plan. You know, I think for JK, it's a matter of continuing to get better like he's been doing for the last 3 years. I think everybody wants everything to happen right away, but for young players especially, it rarely works that way. But if you just look at JK's arc of development, you know, he is dramatically better now than he was 3 years ago. So you just got to keep working, keep getting better at everything that we're teaching every day.
And even over the last 6 months, how has he gotten appreciably better from last April when the play-in didn't go your way to now when camp is breaking?
Well, he shot the ball a lot better in preseason. You know, really has seemed confident from three. I think he's running the floor better. It's really a big priority for us this year. We want Wiggs and Trace and JK. We want our most athletic players really sprinting the wings. And, you know, I've made no mistake about it. We've got to be better this year in terms of our transition offense and our transition defense, and JK is a big part of that. So we're working hard on that this year.
Steve, there's a pretty in-depth article that came out today in The Athletic with regard to your guys' offseason, and Draymond has spoken publicly about it, about some fairly high-level trades that you guys were at least considering. And so a few questions about it. First of all, like, how would you sort of describe what Mike Dunleavy's strategic approach is right now at this time with Steph Curry only having, you know, so much time left?
Well, first of all, Mike is fantastic. I mean, he's really doing a great job. I think Bob really mentored him well over the years. I think Mike comes in with a great understanding of the league, you know, both as a player and as the son of a, you know, former coach and GM. So he's got a great feel for people, and I think this offseason showed that. You know, he really kind of weaved in everybody, our coaching staff, our front office, our players, to try to figure out, you know, what can we do to put the best floor on the team, and, you know, what do we need, what are we looking for, and so he looked at everything, you know, he tried to pull in the big fish. When that didn't work out, he pivoted. He ended up getting, you know, in free agency, some really good players with Kyle and Buddy and DeAnthony, and he's kind of cleaned up our books. He's looking long-term. He's positioning us now where, you know, we pretty much have all our picks going forward. So I think Mike is just really wise. I think he's done a great job with the roster, and he's poised to, you know, to make a move if something is out there that he thinks can make the team better.
I'd also ask, what kind of mentorship do you have to offer to some of the young players who I would imagine can kind of infer from an article like that, that they might have been a part of some sort of a move in the offseason.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things we try to do is remind the players how this business works, you know, and you have to be brutally honest with the guys, and they appreciate that. But the best thing every player can do is make himself a great asset, you know, and it's a really weird business that we're in. You know, we're asking these guys to be, you know, to be loyal to us and help the team win. And, oh, by the way, we might trade you. You know,
yeah.
it's a weird business. But when you're honest with the guys and you understand, they understand, you know, hey, this is how this works, you know. Then I think they appreciate it. And it's easy for me to share the fact that, you know, I played on six different teams in 15 years. And it's not easy getting traded and getting cut and getting injured and all the stuff that happens to you as a player. But, you know, the flip side is the more valuable you make yourself to your team, the more valuable you make yourself, you know, when contract comes around, whether it's for your team or another one. And that's the way the business works, and you just have to you know, remind the guys of that, and I think they appreciate that.
And one guy who probably understands it is Buddy Hield, who's now playing for his fifth team, and I'm fascinated to watch him fit in and just watch the green light be on and watching him go out there and try to bring that electric offense. What's been your early impression of Buddy Hield as a Golden State Warrior?
Buddy is, number one, a breath of fresh air. I mean, I look forward to seeing him every day. He brings a joy and a lightness to work. He loves the game. He loves the process of putting in the work. And he's a hell of a player. I think he's second in the league in three-pointers made after Steph over the last 5 or 6 years. That's a pretty impressive number. So, you know, he's going to be a guy who we rely on for scoring off the bench and you know, a lot of threes, but also a lot of energy. I just like the way he plays. I like the feel when we put him into the game.
Steve Kerr with us, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game every week throughout the season. Coach, this has been so, so well discussed, but I do wonder, as a new season starts, after everything that has happened over the last two seasons surrounding Draymond's emotions, what kind of conversations have you had with him going into this season so there isn't any sort of a repeat?
Draymond and I have been together 10 years, and we talk all the time about everything. And he's in a great place. He's had a really good camp, not just in practice every day and what we've seen in games, but just his leadership and his approach, his energy. So, you know, it's, I don't know what year it is for him. I think maybe 13. So, you know, he knows what we need of him, and, he and I work together all the time, and, we are anticipating a great season from Dre.
All right, Coach, it's Tuesday evening. I know you have a game in 24 hours, but I think 72 hours, The Dodgers will play in the World Series. Do you have a comment with a mind on who's listening?
So we had an open practice the other night at Chase, and Bob Fitzgerald says, as he's interviewing me in front of 10,000 fans, he said, "So you're a Dodger fan, and Kyle Anderson is a Mets fan. You guys have a bet?" I said, "Fitzy, you know, like, do you mind? Like, we don't have to talk about what baseball team I grew up cheering for. Like, we're in the Bay Area. I think, can we just keep that quiet?" So I would appreciate it if you guys would just maybe focus on NBA stuff instead as well.
We can do that. Yeah. I also want to focus on your half-court shot that was seen at the open practice. You chuck one in from 50, and you just walked it off, Coach. Is that something that you engage in regularly, a little half-court shootout?
We shoot half-court shots for money. Like when we fine a guy for being late or something, we put money in the pot, and we shoot half-court shots and coaches are included. So we're, you know, we're allowed to win the money too. And ooh. I routinely shoot the underhand. I go
Rick Barry.
The underhand. Yeah. So I don't always make it, but it was nice to make it with the cameras on, and I mic dropped and walked off the floor. That felt good.
And how much did you make that night?
I didn't make anything that night, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
But during the season, we'll, you know, at shoot around on the road, we'll shoot for fine money, and I won a little money last year.
Okay,
so you know,
that's got to be unfair though, because for Steph, that's like a free throw. Do you guys make him go three quarter court just to make it fair?
It's really not fair, but it is what it is. I mean, you know, it's there's a reason our guys shoot so many half court shots in practice. And, you know. They're trying to get some money out of it.
Coach, we look forward to the year. You're always a good sport, and we'll do everything we can to keep the baseball out of our mouths. Believe me, we don't want to talk baseball right now either.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. We won't talk about it.
Perfect.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Steve. All right. Okay, there he goes. Steve Kerr and the Ducks play tomorrow night.
It's exciting. And, I mean, couldn't happen at a better time when we're all trying to have a palate cleanser after the Chiefs loss, and we're not quite fully engaged and ramped up for the Sunday night Cowboy game, but it is a little awkward when you realize that the home opener is also Sunday at 5:30. So... I mean,
I would love to be there. I would love to be there.
However,
I don't even listen. I don't want to make this about me. Who cares?
Right.
But I am literally like I'm dreading 5:30 Sunday night. Like I'm doing the radio show. I'm doing a radio show. The Niners are playing the Cowboys. The Dubs are in the middle of their home opener.
Right.
I'm going to have to steal all the TVs. Sorry, kids. I only got two TVs. They're all coming in here.
You need your computer for work.
There's a computer for work.
Yep.
What a hot mess.
It's a tough one.
I should take the show off, but I won't do that.
No.
I won't do that. Well, I got a ring to pay for over here.
That, and you're literally talking about sports.
Well,
so,
right.
Like, and your partner is allowed to talk more than I am, so Ephraim can go ahead and chat it up. I've listened to your show. I've listened to you on Sunday. So, Ephraim, football, am I right? Off goes your mic button. You're watching a game. You're watching two games. You're making dinner, and he will go.
I am saving up energy.
Yeah, I got you.
For Monday through Friday.
It's a bunch of crap is what it is.
I mean, and I've already explained this to you. I can't see him.
Right.
I can see you.
You can see the game, too, that you're watching Sunday Night Football.
It's also true.
By the way,
for our 95.7 The Game listeners, let me tell you something right now. If you want to hear me shut up, because I know a lot of you do, you should tune in to Fox Sports Radio on 95.7 The Game at 5 o'clock on Sunday night.
Oh, because we'll carry it.
I will not say a word.
Because you'll be busy.
Ephraim knows damn well. He has got, you want to talk about your kids, you want to talk about your bank account, you want to talk about what shaving cream you use, you can talk about whatever you want. I will just calmly sit there with a drink and watch the 49ers play the Cowboys.
There you go. And the Warriors on the second screen.
And the Warriors on the second screen.
We won't be carrying it this Sunday because the Warriors are on. Thank you, Grandy.
Hello.
Never felt so stupid in all my life.
And now I feel even stupider because I had the second chance to think of that. That was very dumb.
Right, because we carry the Warriors here.
I think we're the home of the Warriors. Is that right?
Yeah. Last time I checked.
Is that why Steve Kerr just came on?
I think so.
This also would be a great time to mention that Warriors Roundtable debuts coming up at the top of the hour with Cash Me Out One Time.
Tonight!
And hello,
Cash
fellas.
Me Out One Time!
Kevin Dana and the Saintly One, 6 o'clock, right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors Roundtable kicks off another season.
Gucci!
Thank you. Rain Dance!
Yes. Rain Dance!
The key is the long R.
Yeah, your Dana is good.
Thank you.
Your Dana is good. It's way better
it's not
than
as good
your,
as my Shanahan stuff.
And your...
Yeah.
Shit.
It's the other one I do that's just like Shanahan.
By the way, I can't remember.
Yeah,
you know what?
Thank you.
Like, you're feeling right. You're Farhan. Like, that's how I felt when Kapler got canned.
It's like, man. Well, my Farhan is like my Ronald Reagan.
I got
a three chuckle Farhan, and that's it.
It's like the SNL guys who like do the presidential impersonation, and then the president doesn't get reelected.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, there goes your bit.
And there's the one guy who won and then lost, and now he won't go away. That impersonation lives.
That one will be...
It's that one guy.
Sometimes it comes back around.
It sure does. I don't know if the Farhan one will.
Probably not here.
I am excited, though, for tomorrow night. We have the opener on in here, Boston and New York. They're actually playing a real game that counts. And
they're not the New York Knicks. They're the New Look Knicks, and they're getting their butts kicked.
They are.
But, I mean, it's Boston and the energy of the home opener.
It's 1 of 82, so it's not like I'm dialed in like I am for a football game, but it's just nice to have it on and to know that it's back.
Well, I tell you what, just because, listen, Steve Kerr just came on, and we got the game tomorrow night. Well, like, we opened it up to you, what about the Warriors season are you looking forward to most? Like specifically, 888-957-9570. Let me throw this at you, and you tell me what you think. At the risk of having a fish hook in my mouth, I don't know. There's two things happening. One is we're being told that, we're deep. We got a lot of good players, and we got a good vibe. Do you remember the word at this time last year? Connectivity.
Oh, that's right.
Right? Chris Paul and connectivity. And then they played, and Klay Thompson was mad every day. And I'm like, this does not look connected at all. And Draymond Green was getting ejected and suspended, and I'm like...
Just twice.
Connectivity, schmonectivity. No, you're not. So... I realize that maybe I'm being, your word, schnookered, maybe, but combine the, quote, vibes with the 6-0 preseason, for whatever that's worth, with which ain't much, but the style of play that you watched, the effectiveness of it on the court, all of that. I have this thing that I'm like, am I fish hook in mouth? Are the Warriors going to be kind of good this year? It feels like they might. Now, that doesn't mean, they're better than Denver or any of this stuff.
Are we going to be championship?
Yeah, I don't even want to do... There's too much of that. Super Bowl talk in August and all of this. There's too much. So I don't care about 2025. But I think the Warriors might be pretty good this year.
Well, they were pretty good last year, and this is where we had a little show thread earlier today about spoiled fans, and for me, it's not so much about being spoiled, it's being unappreciative, because the Warriors last year were 46-36, which is pretty good. It's actually really good relative to what a 9 seed normally is. Can the Warriors this year be that good? I think so. And then I looked at the FanDuel season win total, and it's 43.5,
which to me feels like a weird absolute layup.
And maybe they're thinking about, older team, older players and injuries and all the rest of it. But you asked what I'm looking forward to. Two things, one with the Warriors and one with me. And I'm going to say this with as much genuineness as I can.
Okay.
And the first one's Buddy Hield. I can't wait to watch him because he is an absolute bucket waiting to happen.
Okay.
He's going to drive you crazy, and he's also going to thrill you, because when he gets the ball, it's probably going up, and he's going to look to score, and he is number two in the last 5 years in total threes made, behind only the chef. And the second thing is I'm going to challenge myself to divorce my feelings from Draymond Green's antics.
Oh, sorry, okay.
I'm going to focus on Draymond the player, and I'm not going to allow my preconceived feelings about Draymond to color my enjoyment of him as a basketball player and them as a team. I'm challenging myself to take a different tack this year.
This is big.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be better, Mark. I'm going to be better.
This is really big.
I'm going to be better, and I'm not going to devolve into Draymond bashing.
Does he know this yet?
He doesn't care about me.
No, we got to get the message to the team that you're sending Draymond a warm fuzzy.
I'm giving him a warm fuzzy.
You are.
At the end of it, he is a Golden State Warrior. And as I've said before, I've been a fan of this team long before Draymond Green was even alive.
Stand on it.
I am standing on it. I'll say
it
with my
chest. Stand on what you say.
I'm standing on it.
Stand on what you do.
What's he, 35 years old? 34?
Something.
Somewhere in there?
Yeah,
I've been a fan of this team since before he was born. And I'm not going to allow Draymond Green and my feelings for some of the things he's done to affect me any longer. I'm going to rise above. I'm going to stand on what I feel, Draymond. And that's it. Fresh slate.
I think he would argue that you're doing the opposite of that.
No, I'm giving him a fresh slate.
I know, but you're not standing on what you've said in the past.
Stand on it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't take any of it back. I stand on it. But what I'm doing is I'm allowing myself to evolve, and I'm allowing myself to give a player in my heart, in my mind, a second chance and a clean slate.
Well, you're doing with Draymond this year, this is kind of the conversation I had with you about Brandon Ayuk. Like, okay, once you sign, I'm not going to root against you. You're a 49er, and you're a very good player. I can keep my opinion that, quote, I would not have done that, and that I was out on Brandon Ayuk. But then once you get past that, it's like, all right, like, you're here, and let's go. Let's go win the Super Bowl. Let's play. And then everything that has happened, and now he's hurt, and so now you just have compassion for him. I don't, you know, whatever the heck everybody felt about the contract and the way he played, that's all one thing, and now he's just injured. Now he's just, and that stinks. And that stinks for everybody. It stinks for him, it stinks for the 49ers, it stinks for the fans. So I see a little overlap there. That's what you're going to do for Draymond this year.
Yeah, it's the new year, clean slate, and
I'm going to hold you to it.
It's going to be a challenge.
I'm going to hold you to it now.
Because he's going to, at times, he's going to make it difficult. And whether it's the unnecessary contesting of a call or the ill-timed tech or, God forbid, another ejection and suspension, these things are, they're going to test me. But I'm going to try like heck, Mark, to give him all the grace I can and just start anew. Because honestly, I thought about this over the weekend. We are running out of years to enjoy exactly what we have with this team, which is not, I don't know if the dynasty is still alive. This is not about a dynasty, but they're interesting, they're competitive, they're fun to watch, and he's a big part of all three of those.
I think there are. We don't know yet. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Well, they're interesting. They got the chef.
Yeah, they're interesting because they're the Warriors, and he's still on the team, and so, yes. And by the way, like, just real quick to answer your why is 43.5 the over-under?
Yep.
Again, people always go, well, Vegas knows something. Yes, I do think they know more than the average fan, but what Vegas also knows, what Vegas really understands is not what's about to happen. They understand us. They understand us. And I think the average fan looks at the Warriors and goes, you're old, you won 46 last year, you lost Klay, you replaced him with a bunch of all right, 43.5. I think it's an absolute layup. I don't think there's any there's no question in my mind. All right, here it is. I finally got to it. Here's the statement. Grandy can put this on Twitter. There's no question in my mind the Warriors are better this year than they were last year. Absolutely, unequivocally, no question in my mind that they are a better basketball team this year than they were last year. If you listen closely to what Steve is saying with regard to their change strategically, it tells you that they are ready to sort of stop kowtowing to the, quote, big three and start evolving with the rest of the league. It's almost like they're buying into analytics a little bit more. They need to shoot more threes. They need to play faster. They need to be more defensively minded. They needed to be younger. They need to do all of these things. And largely the last thing, and this is probably the biggest, you look at the last 2 years of Warrior basketball, the Warriors needed to up and get the negative energy out the damn room. And they did. Twice.
Yeah,
now, and that's not blaming Jordan and Klay. It's not about that. These are intricate situations. They're complex. And there's plenty of stuff to go around. But the bottom line is they were there. They were there. There was negativity in the room from, according to reports, on an almost constant basis. And it's gone. And I think that that's worth 5 wins.
Well, we'll see.
By itself.
And having Draymond for the majority of the year is probably worth 3 to 4 or 5 wins anyway if he's able to play more games. And you won 46 last year. Even though Draymond played 2/3 of the year, even though Klay was mostly disgruntled, even though Andrew Wiggins had his worst year as a professional, all those things, and you still won 46. So I'm with you about them being better. They could be a better team and still only win 46 games.
That's possible, sure.
The West is better. OKC got better. There's a lot more competition, I think, in the Western Conference than even last year. But I'm just really interested to watch how they play, because Steve is talking about them and their pace and playing faster. Last year, their pace was 99.2. They were 12th in pace. And he was talking about his first year. That first year when they led in pace and they also led in defense, because my question was, can you lead in pace and still be good on defense? And he mentioned that first year, 2014-2015, their pace that year, Mark, 98.3, which would have put them in 15th place this last year.
Wow.
So that just tells you how much faster everyone else has gotten. So he wants to play fast, and he wants to shoot more threes and still have his team be better on defense. That, for me, is a very tight needle to thread. And if they can thread it, then, yeah, they'll be better than last year.
Let's go to Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. I too, believe they're a better team this year. When I first got these new players, I thought, well, we're definitely better defensively. Now I'm thinking we're better offensively, too. I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch, a lot of good three-point shooters. You know, on the negative side, I'm a little concerned about Draymond and Curry. You know, they're a year older, so, you know, then I expect them to drop off a little bit. But on the other hand, I expect a big comeback year from Wiggins. I've been a Wiggins fan from day one. I think the family tragedy, you know, sickness and tragedy really got to him deeply, and that affected his play. But I expect him to be, he may just be the best player on the team this year. That's my prediction.
Woo! Okay, Gene.
Better than the chef, Gene.
Well, here's what, I like Andrew Wiggins. I really do. I like Andrew Wiggins. I think sometimes players end up in a little bit of a tough spot based on where they're drafted or the expectations, the hype that's surrounding him. I look at Andrew Wiggins kind of like Reggie Bush. You know, Reggie Bush wins a Heisman. He gets drafted number two overall, and everyone's expecting him to just absolutely run the league. And as it turns out, it's more of kind of a scat back who's a wonderful receiver out of the backfield. He can return a punt. He had a great NFL career. Maybe not great, like a really good NFL career. Yeah. But when you compare it to hype and draft status, sometimes it's like, meh, that wasn't really what we were hoping for. And Andrew Wiggins is the exact same kind of a situation. And so is that fair? I don't know. Andrew Wiggins is a really good player, but here's one word that I would never use with Andrew Wiggins. Expect. I'm just not going to use it. I'm going to take what he gives. I'm going to assess it and feel it on a night in and night out basis as the Warriors play. But this whole idea of I'm expecting Andrew Wiggins to XYZ, have a bounce back, be great, average 19 again, whatever it is you think he might be able to do, look like 2022 Wiggs. No expectations, because expectations have been burned too many times by him.
Right, yet here we are again, and so I expect Andrew Wiggins to have a good year. Now, I won't go as far as Gene and say he's going to be their best player, but I expect him to be better than last year.
Last year,
he averaged 12 points a game.
Yeah, like I hope.
I'm going to expect it, because he's a highly paid professional player. He's healthy. He played in, I think, 76 games last year. He's good, and he should be unencumbered by the things that had been challenging him in the past. So I think it's okay to expect it. And yeah, I'm setting myself up to be disappointed again, but that's all right, because he's really, really good. And if he plays great, if he plays up to his potential, I'm not saying he has to be an all-star again, but if he can play up to the level of expectation and Kuminga takes a step forward and Steph and Draymond remain mostly healthy, now you're talking about a 50-plus win team, and yeah, now you got action.
I look at it more from the efficiency standpoint, though. I don't care about a certain number of points per game or whatever,
yeah,
because it is a deeper team. I don't know how the minutes are going to get sort of doled out, and On a basketball team, there's a pecking order and plays that are set. I don't know how much of what he would normally do is going to get funneled to Jonathan Kuminga, who is growing into being a key scorer for this team. And if they're one of those teams that's just going to, like, have that ball really move to find the open three-point shooter, like, his shooting opportunities could go way down. I could absolutely see that. My hope is that Andrew Wiggins is an efficient basketball player, more efficient than he's been the last couple of years. I don't care if it's 18 points a game. If it's only 12, 13, 14, that's fine. Just make good on the opportunities that you do get at a higher rate. That's my hope from Andrew Wiggins this year.
Well, and that's what he did 2 years ago. His win shares, the estimated number of wins contributed by a player, were 5.1. He was an all-star. They won the chip. The next year after that, he was 2.3. Last year, 2.8. So if you can get the Wigs from 2022, you don't need him to score 20 a night. You just need him, like you said, to be efficient, play great defense on the wing, rebound on occasion more than he normally does. He doesn't distribute a lot, but be that fourth option. Be a reliable 30 minutes a night guy, and you can be a great team. I expect it.
Okay. All right. Good luck to you, pal.
It's going to be a roller coaster.
We're brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. 888-957-9570. If you want to circle back to the, if there's one trade you could make with the 49ers acquiring a player, what position would it be at? We'll take your calls. 888-957-9570. Plus, let's share some stuff with you that we haven't played for you yet. Brian Baldinger was on the roast earlier today. Talked about Brock's performance. He talked about what Tom Brady told him about Brock. He also talked about this wide receiver separation problem. All of it, really good breakdown. We've got it for you next on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Some people just don't get it. You know what I'm saying?
It's not that hard.
It's really
not that busy, man.
All right, so Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean, Warrior Roundtable, 13 minutes.
Looking forward to it.
LFG.
Yep.
Season starting. And sure, we could use like a little, just a little break in the action. Like hopefully the Warriors will win tomorrow night, make everybody feel good. Just forget about the Niners for a second. Then there'll be time to get back. They're going to kick the Cowboys' butts on Sunday night. I feel very good about it. I'd like to hear a little bit out of the practice report before I get all the way into my cockiness on this one. But I don't think very much of the Cowboys. I've made that very, very clear. I do hope the 49ers have some players that we've heard of on the team this week. We'll find out. Debo is out of the hospital. The Juwan situation, George Kittle's foot. Doc Pandya joins us tomorrow, and we'll start the deep dive. And obviously get to what Brandon is looking at in terms of a rehab. Can he be expected for week one next year, even?
Yeah, and that'll be a great one for Doc Pandya. And I was doing some research today because, you know, I geek out on the medical stuff. And, you know, my thoughts go out, of course, to Brandon Ayuk on getting better. But what I was reading is that the ACL and MCL combo tear is actually better than the ACL-LCL or the ACL-PCL. And this is a question for Pandy tomorrow to
confirm.
That's
interesting. Why is that?
I think just based on what ligament goes, because the PCL is the one that connects to the patella, which is the kneecap, and that becomes much more of a difficult rehab as opposed to the medial collateral and the anterior cruciate. Those are, I think, two that are on either side of the knee, and so those, I think, are a little bit more of a straightforward repair.
And what the L is for lateral.
Lateral collateral.
And what's the P?
I think it's the patellar collateral ligament, the one that connects.
The patellar gets two. It gets a tendon and a collateral.
I believe so. Let me confirm that.
What do we got?
Yeah, because the patella tendon.
Yeah, there's the patella tendon.
Right.
But that's not the PCL.
Let me confirm. I'd hate to be wrong. Posterior cruciate.
Oh, that's
the posterior.
That's it.
Yes, posterior. Thank you.
Yeah, the posterior. I'm a big fan of the posterior.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
All right. Yeah, damn right.
Ding, 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 ding. I like PCL and I cannot lie.
What?
Other ligaments can't deny.
What happens at 5:45? What is it? What happens?
We get a little bit goofy.
That's a great question. Yeah,
well, you actually
start at 5. You wait till
Friday's at 5. You are
Yeah, I mean, but who? I feel like I am trying to reflect the people listening to us. At 5 o'clock on Friday, let's get stupid.
What is going on here?
Yeah, let's get stupid. It's Friday night. Let's get stupid.
So what?
You know what I'm saying?
That's my favorite Fitz drop. I've been practicing in the car.
I don't know.
What
about this? Hey, do you want to hear? Brian Baldinger had a conversation with Tom Brady about Brock Purdy, which, first of all, sounds very passive-aggressive. It sounds gossipy.
Right.
But they did it.
Can you believe what Brock's wearing today? Oh, my God.
Do you want Baldy to tell you what Brady told him about Brock?
Totally.
It literally sounds like when you're passing notes in freshman year where you're like, I know someone who likes you. All right. Brian Baldinger on what Tom Brady told him about Brock.
He thinks he's got some restrictions with his arm. He's got some restrictions with his size. Okay. You know, you're at 6'1". You're not going to have the view that Brady had at 6'6" with an over-the-top release. He likes his ability to move. He likes his ability to process. But, you know, the arm's never going to probably get stronger. He does have good instincts. As far as he was telling me a story about, I asked him, like, can you coach pocket awareness? He's like, absolutely not. He goes, either you have that or you don't. I think he's got that. You know, his physical prowess, he's not going to get any faster. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get any taller. His arm's probably not going to get a lot stronger. So that's what you have to work with. And so there's some limitations. Like, Mahomes never has to worry about his arm. You know, when he's 40, he's going to be able to gunsling that thing
right
in any direction. Like, he's not gifted like that, but he does have a pocket awareness the way Patrick does. You know, and he probably doesn't have the stick accuracy on the move to make every single throw when it calls for that, like the way we've seen Mahomes do for 8 years.
Okay, what do you make of all that?
I think that it's all fair and true for the most part, and I'm thinking about all the passes we've seen batted down because he's only 6'1". It doesn't mean he can't be effective in the pocket. All you have to do is look at one of the most effective quarterbacks in history, Drew Brees, who might be 6 foot. I don't even know if he's that tall. So you can be effective in the pocket even though you're not that tall. Now, if your arm strength is not as good as another quarterback, then that might limit you in some ways. But I've seen him make throws outside the numbers.
I've seen him
throw the ball down the field. And it seems to me that his arm strength is good enough. And his pocket awareness is elite. And his mobility and his short area quickness is also very good. So I think he's right what Tom Brady is saying as far as like measuring him against the best of the best, but I don't think that his shortcomings are such shortcomings that he can't still be very good.
I agree. I think shortcomings are usually just, that's part of the definition of a human being. We can go around the league and there are a lot of good quarterbacks who have shortcomings. I mean, I've heard people say, well, Lamar Jackson is not, you know, your prototypical accurate strong arm quarterback. Now, I think he's starting to really prove people wrong. I don't think there's a whole lot that Lamar can't do on a football field. You're talking about a Josh Allen, a Joe Burrow, a Patrick Mahomes. Sure, there probably aren't a lot of limitations. Maybe with Burrow, you're like, well, he's not the fleetest of foot. He's okay, you know, but Patrick, pretty fast. Josh, really fast. But go around the league, and like, does Jared Goff have limitations? Sure.
Yeah, he's not very fast at all.
Does Jalen Hurts have limitations? Absolutely. Does Brock Purdy have limitations? What I love about Brock Purdy's, quote, limitations is that most of them are on the physical end, and you can work with those as opposed to that mental end, the processing, the decision-making. Again, I know it wasn't great Sunday,
yeah,
but he has, I think, already built his reputation on being pretty good on those things, and I think those are the things that are actually needed for good quarterbacking.
Agreed, but the one thing that I'm seeing that is perhaps becoming troubling in my mind is his amount of self-confidence or moxie. He loves to, I don't know if he loves to, but he has a tendency to try to make a play where maybe it's better off to just eat it and go down, and he's gotten away with it, and against Kansas City, he didn't. And the throw in the red zone where he's getting hit and he's just trying to fit it in where there's no fit, I would like to see him evolve to where he lives to fight another play more than he does right now.
We promised Baldy's thoughts on the lack of separation by the receivers.
I think the lack of separation is real. You know, I talked to Ayuk before the game, and, you know, I just feel sick about what happened to him. you know, I mean, he's going over the middle. It's he plays with no fear, and he took that shot from that safety, Chamari Connor, and it was just ugly. But he's the one guy that can separate because of his route running ability. But they played him up in man like they did in the Super Bowl, and you know, even Ricky Pearsall, you know, got a chance to get out there, made a couple catches, but he had trouble separating. And so I see it around the league. If guys aren't separating quickly, whether it's the release off the line of scrimmage the way, say, a guy like Davante Adams does, if you can't separate quickly, then you better figure out a way against man coverage or the anticipation of man coverage to get guys open, whether it's bunch formation, you know, whether it's rub routes, whatever it is, then you got to help your guys out. And so I see that as an issue right now.
Deontay Johnson.
Well, what I heard him say is something we don't see a lot from Kyle Shanahan, and it's the bunch and the rub. So let's get a little bit more bunch,
yep,
and let's start rubbing. Let's bunch it and let's rub to get guys open, because you're not able to just get one-on-one separation, and that has been a problem. Bunch and rub, Kyle.
Boy, this show does get salacious after 5:40.
Yeah.
So it's Warrior Roundtable time. Are you ready?
I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's Thank God I got the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Dana, and it is Gary St. Jean, and it is all brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That was a hell of a long wait for Warrior basketball, but it's over.
It's here tomorrow.
Yeah. We got a game tomorrow night.
Can't wait.
It's the Portland Blazers. So you want to do it again tomorrow?
We lock in, Dub Nation.
Okay. Let's go. Let's do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Grandy, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.